What's up, Dog Pound? Thank you for joining us once again. Today it'll be a little lunchtime fiesta. Nathan Zagura alongside Sir Andrew Gribble. And we've talked a lot about the quarterbacks in this draft, but as we get closer to the combine, which we know is next week in Indianapolis, we thought we would take a look at the offensive players, the skill position players in this draft, the wide receivers, the running backs, and the tight ends today, Gribbs.
Yeah, and these are position groups where it seems like the Browns are pretty set depth-wise at the position. A lot of these positions were addressed last year in the draft. You know, Corey Coleman loading up on the wide receivers, but there's a lot of playmakers that are first-round players that if they're the best player available, I would not see any hesitation from the Browns to grab these guys with that number 12 pick.
So first of all, while you're enjoying your tasty morsels of food, what we're going to do here today is obviously interact with you, so feel free to hit us up with your questions. We'll interact the whole time throughout the show. Jump in on those. We're going to go through Mike Mayock's top five players at each position, Mel Kiper's top five players at each position, and then one guy that you and I would like to see maybe find his way onto this Cleveland Browns roster. So let's get started right now. We'll look at the wide receivers of Mike Mayock. He just released his top five there. And as you look at this group here, it's top at the top. You got Corey Davis and Mike Williams. And we've been talking about the quarterbacks. There's no consensus. You have Kaiser people out there. You've got Watson people. You've got Trubisky people. You've got Pat Mahomes people all of a sudden. It's kind of the same here, except it's a two-horse race with Williams and Corey Davis.
Right, and the key thing to focus on going into the combine next week, doesn't look like Corey Davis is going to do much at the combine. And I think that might put a lot more focus on his pro day. You never really hear much about a Western Michigan pro day. Well, all of a sudden, that's going to be a big one because he's projected as high as number five in that draft to the Tennessee Titans. Mike Williams, the big question with him in the combine, I think it's going to be how he separates from receivers. Maybe the same kind of questions that Laquon Treadwell faced last year from Ole Miss.
Yeah, Corey Davis seems to kind of have it all. Mike Williams has the size, but they want to know, does he have the speed and the ability to separate, as you talked about, at the next level to be that number one guy. Those two, though, every mock you look at, some have Davis first, some have Williams first, some have him going in the top 10. They don't really slide too much beyond the middle of the first round. And then the third guy on the list here is John Ross. And John Ross reminds a lot of people of DeSean Jackson. Not the biggest guy, but he is a burner on the outside who can get vertical and, as they like to say, take the top off the defense.
Yeah, he might be the potential combine superstar this week because he has the potential to run the fastest 40-yard dash. I think he's one of the 10 that have been mentioned by NFL.com that could potentially break that Chris Johnson record, which it comes up every year. No one seems to really get close to it, but John Ross has that potential. I think the one concern with him, that playoff game against Alabama, kind of a no-show. So you wonder if he's going to be kind of a boom or bust kind of guy, like a DeSean Jackson, but there's a lot of teams in the market for someone who could take the top off of defense. We saw what Will Fuller did for the Texans this past year. There's a need for that around the league.
Absolutely. John Ross looks like a surefire first-rounder, and we said he kind of reminds us of DeSean Jackson and Bugatti, which is a great name. He said, do you think we'll get DeSean Jackson in free agency? I don't. I really don't. I think you're going to spend that money that you'd spend on DeSean Jackson on keeping Terrell Pryor. Corey Coleman is kind of like your DeSean Jackson guy. Smaller, vertical threat, plays bigger than his size indicates. I think if the Browns are going to make a move in free agency, it's maybe to find a slot receiver, that third guy, kind of the guy who played the Mohamed Sanu role for Hugh Jackson down there in Cincinnati.
Yeah, with DeSean Jackson, I look for him probably to stay with the Redskins, too. I think Redskins, Eagles, maybe stay where he's familiar. And I think he's got a few good years left in him, but when I look at free agents with the Browns, I'm looking for those guys on their second contract.
So you remember Anthony Armstrong, who spent some time with us, who played with both of those guys in Washington. Anthony Armstrong on Twitter, I don't know what this means, but he said, you can book it. DeSean Jackson's going to the Rams.
Interesting.
L.A., get Jared Goff a weapon, follow McVay, who was with him in Washington. You can connect the dots.
It'd be a little redundant, though, with Tavon Austin out there.
Well, Tavon Austin's a slot guy. DeSean Jackson is like a real vertical wide receiver. Yes, too small. They'd be getting old school Cleveland Browns right there with a lot of the Smurfs running around out there. As you go through Cooper Kupp, Zay Jones, these are two guys who were at the Senior Bowl that made big, big impressions. They're two guys that you and I happen to like a lot. You were down there. What did you see from Kupp and Jones?
Well, Kupp was one of the stars of the Senior Bowl, and not necessarily the game, but the week of practices, consistently getting open, a lot of variation with the routes he can run. He can go across the middle. He can go deep a little bit. He was just a guy that every day got better and better. The thing I like about him a lot, when Eastern Washington played Power 5 teams, he tore it up. I think he had over 200 yards against Oregon, over 200 yards against Washington State, touchdowns galore. He set pretty much every FCS receiving record. He's someone that is went from a day three guy before the Senior Bowl to probably definitely a day two guy.
Well, and you just wrote an article at ClevelandBrowns.com where you talked with Andrew Berry, and one of the things he said is the competition matters. You want to see them in big games and against elite competition, and as you said, Cup stood out in that regard. And then Jones out of East Carolina, a guy who had almost 1,800 yards receiving last year, and I'll tell you in a little bit later why I like him so much. And let's go ahead and keep these questions coming. We'll go Steve Rahm says, are we going to draft Myles Garrett at number one? Steve, if we knew that, we'd tell you. We'd have to kill you, though. We don't know the answer to that, but obviously if they don't take a quarterback at the top of this draft and make that pick, I do think it's a good chance it is Myles Garrett.
Yeah, we'll learn a lot more about Myles Garrett this week. Saturday he'll be talking at the Combine, a really interesting guy, but if you're looking at every mock draft, the majority believe that Myles Garrett has come to Cleveland Browns, but a lot can change over the next couple months.
So we told you it's Mike Williams and Corey Davis at the top. That's Mayock's top five. Let's go now to Mel Kiper's top five. And as you see, it's a little bit of a flip-flop. Now, Mike Williams is at the top spot. Corey Davis comes in at number two. Ross, number three. He has a whole new 4 and 5, though. Curtis Samuel, a wide receiver, is he? Are we sure about that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think he was dynamic in the passing game. Is he a potential, though? Is he maybe a Percy Harvin type when he goes to the NFL? I think that's a comparison. That's how he was used by Urban Meyer at Ohio State, seemingly. You wonder if he'd do the same in the NFL. I wonder about fit. Maybe he's a guy that I could see going to a playoff contender and they use him in situationally and really maximize their offense by getting him there.
And then you got Juju Smith-Schuster out of USC. Cody Kessler obviously would be able to speak about him. He was a guy 2 years ago that people thought was going to be a top 10 pick. And you know, when they do those mocks a year ahead of time, he was a guy going to the top 10. He's kind of fallen down. Maybe doesn't have elite speed, but still a productive receiver at the college level and somebody to look at in the middle rounds of the draft, second and third round.
Yeah, and I think what we're seeing here at that 4 and 5 is, I think that's why there's an unclear kind of feeling on how day two is going to look for the wide receivers. There's not a ton of guys who kind of fall in that second and third round mold. It's either first round or maybe day three guys. So it'll be interesting to see. This is going to be all about fit and how they fare at the combine and how teams see them fitting in their own offense.
Yeah, so the top three guys are pretty much set. So let's go ahead and look now. Sir Gribbs, who would you like to see from this receiver class, if anybody, come to the Browns?
Well, you know, maybe it's because I was biased because I watched him every day at practice, but I see Cooper Kupp fitting into this offense because he is someone that I can count on to get first downs. I wonder if he can run those short, intermediate routes and just find ways to get open. I think that's the key thing with him. Really good hands, a reliable guy, proven production. I think he fits along nicely. You bring back Terrell Pryor, you bring back Corey Coleman. I think he's someone who meshes nicely with those two guys.
And he's a numbers guy, as you can see on his arm right there. It looks like he's got tattoos of all these different numbers. For me, it's going to be Zay Jones, the all-time FBS receiving leader. And I like this guy, and I'll tell you why. I think when you look at what the Browns need, Gribbs, you've got Coleman on the outside. Hopefully we've got Pryor on the outside. We need that third guy, that slot guy that can win in contested situations. And this is not a knock on Andrew Hawkins, but we know where he is in his career. You need a guy with a little more size, I think, who can make those tough catches over the middle for you. And I think Zay Jones is that guy. He's going to check in around 6'2", very productive in space, great hands catcher. Never catches it with his body, high points the ball very well. The question on him is vertical speed. You don't need that when you're in the slot. He's going to get those free releases. I think he's going to be a very productive pro here. Now, before we go on to the running backs, let's go ahead and get some of these questions in here because they weren't really receiver questions, but we'll jump in on them here. Corey Nolan with a very broad one. Grims, what defensive players should we pick?
I don't know about specific players, but I'm going to talk positions. If you don't address the safety position in free agency, I find that to be a top priority. That and edge rushers. Those are the needs, I think, going into this draft if you do not address them in free agency. I think there are some good options in free agency, but I still think even if you get one, you're probably going to need to get the other one. So if you sign a strong safety in free agency, you're probably going to be in the market for a free safety. And edge rushers, you just can't have enough of them. And I think there's a lot of options beyond Myles Garrett, but he's far and away probably the best one in this draft.
Well, I think the best news for the Browns is you look at on the defensive side and you say to yourself, okay, right, edge rusher, safety, corner maybe would be another need. This draft is loaded at those three positions. Could not be a better draft if you need help at those three spots. So obviously, if the Browns take a guy like Garrett at one, they address other positions as they go on. If they end up maybe falling in love with the quarterback and taking a quarterback at one, there are plenty of edge rushers you could get at 12 that are going to be impact players. Derek Barnett, for example. There are a lot of guys out there. And that transitions us to the safety position. Alan Michael Cabeza says, The Browns go safety at 12. Who is the best available?
Best case scenario, Malik Hooker from Ohio State. You're maybe hoping that the injury drops down his stock, but I would bet against him being available at number 12. I think he fits so nicely potentially with the Chargers at number 7. Another option potentially number 12, and this all depends on how he looks at the combine and how teams see him fitting in their defense, maybe a Jabril Peppers from Michigan. I think he could be available at number 12. Might be a reach, but he's someone that you could put all over your defense and find a way for him to make plays.
Definitely a dynamic athlete. I'm going to throw out a name of a safety that I love that maybe at 33, or if the Browns move back in the end of the first round again, Buda Baker out of Washington. I think this guy's the next Honey Badger, a very good player. All right, let's go now to the running back position here as we take a look, starting off with Mike Mayock's top five guys. And again, just like wide receiver, there's kind of a consensus top two, but nobody's sure who number one is. Two guys that are very different. Dalvin Cook, a home run hitter out of Florida State, and then Fournette, a big beast out of LSU.
Yeah, and I think to some, a few years ago, this would be a stunner that the year that Fournette would be available in the draft, that he would not be the consensus number one pick. But I think there maybe are a little bit of concerns with Fournette's injury history. It seemed like he was always dealing with something at LSU. He's a super talented back, though, and I think he can do a lot. And I don't think LSU maximized his ability in the passing game. Meanwhile, though, Dalvin Cook, he showed he can do both at Florida State. And I think with the modern NFL, you want a running back that can be reliable, catching passes, and I think that's what Dalvin Cook showed throughout his career.
If you see a guy like Dalvin Cook, he's been mocked to Indianapolis quite a bit, that would be explosivo, as they like to say out there. All right, as you go through the running backs, Christian McCaffrey out of Stanford, third, can do it all. A lot of people think he's a perfect New England Patriot. He can run it. He can catch it. An unbelievable talent. Alvin Kamara out of Tennessee, a guy who's come on strong as of late, a bigger back, a bruising style runner. And then number five, which is an interesting one, is Joe Mixon. Some people say if Joe Mixon didn't have off-field issues, he might be the most talented running back in this draft. He has, when you say off-field issues, he has major, major red flags. Pro Football Talk reporting, it's going to be an ownership decision if he's even drafted at all. An owner's going to have to sign off on this one.
Yeah, and I'll stick with the on-field assessment of what we're seeing here. And I think the theme is teams want running backs that can catch the ball. And I think that's what you see with all five of these guys, specifically 3 through 5. These aren't one-trick ponies, kind of the old-school running backs. These are guys that you can put all over the field and rely on to catch passes. It's simply too important part of a game right now in the NFL. You want guys that can do both, and these are all versatile running backs who showed it at the collegiate level, which is something you don't often see because those college offenses don't tend to incorporate those guys as much in the passing game as the NFL.
All right, as we go through now to Mel Kiper's, you see the flip-flop at the top. You're going to see Leonard Fournette, boom, number one, Cook there, McCaffrey three, and then he throws in Donta Foreman out of Texas, who's also a very good player, and then you've got Joe Mixon as well. But it's kind of, with Fournette and Cook, both elite talents, it's what do you want? Do you want a traditional running back, or do you want a guy who's more of a game breaker? So in my mind, I kind of think of Fournette's in the Todd Gurley mold. Dalvin Cook's kind of in the LeSean McCoy home run, Jamal Charles threat every time he touches
it. Yeah, and it's weird. It doesn't feel like just a few years ago where we were just saying it's unheard of to even think of a running back going in the first round. Now look at the last couple of years. Teams are devoting that pick to that. To these running backs, because I think you look at the contenders and they see players who can make an immediate impact, throw them in right away, get these running backs while they're young, fresh, and get the most out of them, like Dallas did with Ezekiel Elliott, what the Rams are doing with Todd Gurley right now.
They certainly did. Keep the questions coming. Jeff Martin, this one is a very good one. Do we need to add an additional running back to our team behind Crow and Duke? And the next slide is going to answer that question. We'll see what Sir Andrew Gribble says. What I say, Gribbs, we'll start with you.
I do. I think you need to maybe, I'll break out a stat for you. The Browns have not gone consecutive years without drafting running back in the last 10 years. You usually address the position every other draft, if not every draft. I think you want to instill competition. You don't want those guys to get complacent. That's why I look at a guy like Samaje Perine. He's going to be a day three guy, but I think he's someone that is a little different from both Crow and Duke. He's a big, powerful back. You watch his film. It takes multiple guys to bring this guy down. I like a guy that you can maybe put in there on third down, get you a yard or two. I think that's where someone like him can fit into this offense, give you that big, powerful back that maybe if Crow, he's been healthy throughout his entire career, heaven forbid he gets injured, he's someone you can plug in as maybe your every down back.
As for me, you see right here, the shadow with the question mark. That means no. I think we're good at the running back position. I love Isaiah Crowell. He's an unrestricted free agent. I think the Browns have an opportunity to get a long-term deal done with him. Then you look at the fact you've got Duke Johnson. So I think you've got your two guys, and I like the move we made acquiring the young man from Dallas last year, who many people liked, and is kind of that day three guy like you talked about here, only in his second season as somebody that Dallas didn't want to give up, but now he's a Cleveland Brown, and they have an opportunity to develop him. I think if you're going to make a move, as you said, though, with the running back position this year, it's a day three guy, put a little bit of pressure on Crow, like, hey, sign your contract. So I'd look for a guy who's more of a runner first rather than a receiver, because you're still in good shape with Duke.
Right, and Perrine was kind of the big guy to mix in doing the versatile, catching the passes. Last three games of the regular season, Perrine averaged more than 30 carries a game. He's a workhorse that you can just feed the ball to and really get the tough yards.
All right, we're going to go to the tight ends in just a second. And Mike asks us, should we emphasize tight end or wide receiver in this draft?
I would lean more toward tight end, but I'm not completely ignoring the wide receiver position either. I know you hit it hard with four picks in last year's draft, but I think there's room to grow in that room, and you don't want the younger wide receivers who were day three picks last year, you don't want them to come in and just let them assume that they're going to have a role in this team. You want them to fight hard and get those guys to earn positions.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some competition brought in that wide receiver room. Again, I'm going to go under the assumption and the belief and the hope that Terrell Pryor is back here. So your top two guys are set, but for that third spot, there's competition. Could it be Robert Woods in free agency, who had a very good year in the slot? Could it be a Zay Jones or a Cup, as you talked about? I think that wide receiver will be addressed, but if you were going to say what position has the potential maybe to be drafted early, and I'm talking pick 12 or 33, I think it is tight end, because you know Hugh Jackson, you like what he got out of Tyler Eifert there in Cincinnati. Barnage is 32 this year, and you could see a guy, as we talk about the tight ends, and flip that as we look here, this is a very good, very deep tight end draft. And again, O.J. Howard, Njoku, those two guys at the top, many think could go in the first round. Evan Engram, Jake Butt, Gerald Everett, not bad either. This is a stacked group.
Yeah, I'm going to go one step further and say any one of these five tight ends might have been the number one tight end in the last few drafts. I think that's the depth of this class. And I think the key name here that kind of stands out to me is Jake Butt, because he might have been the number one tight end had he not had that injury in his bowl game. And he's someone that probably won't be available to you even in training camp this year because he's dealing with that knee injury. But just all these guys fit in the mold of maybe the Jordan Reed, Jimmy Graham type. They've been groomed to be pass catchers from day one. Some of these guys can block better than others, but they can all catch the football.
I've heard when talked about O.J. Howard, scouts said that he is Jimmy Graham, but a better blocker. Sign me up for that right there. Then others have said Njoku might even be the best in this class, just as a pure athlete, a vertical pass catcher, not as good of a blocker. But look, it's about putting points on the scoreboard. Then you have Engram, who's versatile, can flex out for you. Some say kind of like a Jordan Reed or an Aaron Hernandez, but has been compared to Jason Witten. So, I mean, this is a group that's pretty good. Those are pretty good comparisons for these guys. That's Mayock's top five. We look at Mel Kiper's top five right now. Again, Howard, Njoku, Engram, Everett, four of the five the same. He slides Bucky Hodges in there from Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I'm going to put out one point of concern, and maybe we can talk about this on the next slide too, because I know you like this guy. The thing I worry about with Evan Engram, he's the number three tight end on both these boards. I don't want him to fall into the Devin Funchess zone, because Funchess could be either a wide receiver or a tight end. It just doesn't seem like he's doing either very well right now. You don't want that to happen. So if you draft a guy like Engram, you want to have a plan.
Yeah, I think you do want to have a plan. And a guy like Engram, to me, he would use him as that flexed out tight end. Not going to be an inline blocker, can get those mismatches in the slot. And I think you have a good opportunity to get good value out of him. So as we roll through to our next slide, which of these tight ends do you like? We'll start with you, Gerald Everett out of South Alabama, a history maker.
Yes, he would be the first, and he plans to be the first ever draft pick from South Alabama. I think the key thing with him, it's going to be time and place in the draft. I think he's someone that could be available with that second pick in the second round or even that first pick in the third round. That's where I go with on getting the depth at that position. So I like him. He worked with the Browns coaching staff all week at the Senior Bowl. I just think he's flying under the radar because there's so many big names right now.
My guy is Evan Engram. Look at this guy. I remember going back and watching some Dante Moncrief tape at Ole Miss, and this guy stood out to me even back then. You can flex him out, versatile, has, I don't want to say Aaron Hernandez, but there's some of that to his game, the way that he moves in space, fluid athlete, great pass catcher, and I think this guy could be a very nice weapon down the line for Hugh Jackson, so somebody that you could probably get in the second round, and I think automatically adds a day one impact to your team. Not to say that Gerald Everett doesn't, because I think he does as well. The point is, this is such a good tight end class. Some are saying it is the best ever, and they think there can be at least five guys who end up being Pro Bowlers out of this class. Now, we got a question here from Chris Monroe, the big tight end from Baylor. Is he available late in this draft? I mean, I guess I'd imagine he would be available late in this draft, but hey, who knows? I'm focusing on these guys, though, because I want an impact guy, and I think you can get somebody with the 2 second-round picks that the Browns have that can come in and play for you as a succession plan to big play gear, but also, I think, really come in and make an impact, because you can imagine the versatility if you were able to trot out Gary Barnage, one of these guys, or in the future, down the line, one of these guys, and Seth DeValve with two receivers. All of a sudden, you are dictating to the defense a tough, tough situation for them with the matchups you present.
Yeah, I mean, the game's changed. I think you need these guys in your offense It's not. It's gone from a luxury to a necessity. And I think the key thing is this would be a history-making pick for the Browns if you do draft a tight end in the first round. They've done it twice since 1978. Ozzie Newsome, Kellen Winslow. Winslow gave him a couple good years. Ozzie Newsome's in the Hall of Fame.
You
got to be to even now. You still have to be pretty sure on a tight end if you're using a first round pick.
No, I think you're right about that. And now, so we've kind of gone through these positions. Keep the questions coming. We'll interact with you, and we'll start with this one. Should we go offense and free agency because it's a defense heavy draft? And the question is, I don't know that you have to go offense, but where would you go on offense and free agency? And there are really only two places that stick out to me. One would be the offensive line. And many people want to see them address that, whether that be a center, whether that be a guard like Zeitler, or also I think you could do that at the wide receiver position, try to bring in a slot guy to compete and push these young rookies. And a guy like Robert Woods, who's only 25 out of Buffalo, I think seems to be a very nice fit.
Yeah, I mean, when you go position by position in free agency, offensively, the quarterback market, we always talk about that. There's not usually the greatest amount of players at quarterback in free agency. Running back is the same. You usually don't want to sign a guy in a second or third contract at running back. The strength of this group is probably in the interior offensive line because it's not very good at tackle. So I think that there are three guards out there, TJ Lang, Larry Warford, and Kevin Zeitler. Those are guys you can plug in right away as immediate starters. And then there are the center market isn't even really that big out there as well. So that might be someone you have to address in the draft. But really, hate to be boring, but it's pretty much offensive guards when you go to the offense.
It's guard, and then J.C. Treader's a guy that people do like at the center position that perhaps the Browns could bring in there. But I think the Browns feel a little bit better about their offensive line than I think maybe the exterior world feels about their offensive line. Well, we want to thank you guys once again for being with us. We're going to be doing this live from the Combine next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to tune in there as we break it down from Indy, all the happenings there. Gribbs will be there, I'll be there, and you'll be there with us. So thank you for tuning in once again. For Andrew Gribble, I'm Nathan Zgura. Thanks for watching our live cast here from Cleveland Browns headquarters in Berea.